Hi, everyone. I'm Rocky Magic Adumi, and you're listening to Product Magic, a podcast dedicated to telling the stories of how product makers create product magic. There is no cookie-cutter way to becoming a product manager. Product managers come from all walks of life. They come from diverse geography, diverse backgrounds, diverse lived experiences, and they have unique perspectives. In my opinion, this is what makes the discipline of product management so awesome. As most of you know, the creation, development, and launch of most products require teamwork, collaboration among multiple departments, engineering, risk, legal, compliance, you name it. I could go on and on. Product managers have little direct authority over these teams. So how does a product manager get these teams to buy into their product vision? They put their people skills to use, such as emotional intelligence or EQ, to align different stakeholders. In today's episode, we're going to talk about how to become a product manager with Felix Watson. We'll discuss his experience partnering and collaborating with stakeholders and advising product managers. So, Felix, welcome to Product Magic.
Hey, Ronki. Thanks so much for having me. Excited to jump into this conversation.
So, Felix, can you tell our audience a little bit about yourself?
Absolutely. So I'm Felix Watson, originally from Baltimore, Maryland. I started my career as a computer engineer. Along the way, I learned that product management was a discipline that I was interested in, and that one path to make it happen was to get an MBA. So I ended up doing my MBA at UCLA and landing my first internship as a product manager with Microsoft. That turned into a full-time role, and I've been a product manager for about 4 years now, currently working at Google.
So I have to ask you, so as you've worn the engineering hat, now you're a product manager. How does it feel like when you are like, Tim, is there a part of you, the engineering part of you that was like when you're talking to engineers go, no, I think you should try this way?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think when I first started as a product manager, I leaned very heavily into my engineering background. But as I learned more about the role, I learned that it was probably the least important part of my background when it came to being effective as a product manager. So, I think I made some mistakes early on trying to be too involved in engineering discussions and discussions on how we implement things. But now I spend a lot more of my time on the what we should build and why we should build as opposed to how it gets built.
So I can't even imagine, like, I've never been an engineer. So I can't even imagine what, you know, making that switch. But what I love about product management is that, you know, the need, the want, the desire to want to build a product that not only, you know, the best product, but a product that not only, you know, delights my users, but also is, it has utility, you know what I mean? Solves their problem. So I kind of think that being from the engineering background and then switching to product management, I have to think if I had those skill set, it'd be like the best of both worlds. You know what I mean? Because I'd be kind of thinking, okay, well, I could do this. What about this? What about that? So anyway, I just thought that's really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely tempting to lean into those skill sets.
I can imagine. All right. So Felix, I'm willing to ask you. So we talked about how you got started in product management. So what would you say is the biggest misconception that people have about product managers?
Absolutely. You know, I think one of the biggest misconceptions is that the technical part is the hard part of product management. Also that you're the CEO of the product and everyone has to listen to you, right? I think, you know, when it comes to product managers, people think, oh, I have these amazing ideas. You know, I'll just explain them and then people will go do my bidding essentially. But you're not really the CEO of anything. You have no authority. No one you work with reports to you. And so it's really your job to bring people along and to influence them to build the product that you believe is the right product.
No, that's very true. And then I wanted to talk to you about, you know, I am still aspiring product manager since recent college grads that, well, to me, one of the most important lessons of being a product manager is that collaboration with stakeholders, such as engineering, design, and content design and designers. Can you kind of talk to that a little bit and why that is so important, that collaboration?
Absolutely. PMs don't often produce anything tangible for the product, right? We don't write the code. Sometimes you may be involved in wireframing, but you don't really write the user, the UX, the UI design. You don't often write the product or marketing copy. I mean, you might be involved, but oftentimes there's someone else that does that. And so it's absolutely critical that you can work through these other disciplines, or at the very least be able to collaborate with them to get their help, because you may not be an expert in any of those things. So primary function of the PM is writing these documents, right? Whether it be a spec document or a pitch deck, a strategy document, you write these documents to help other people create things. So the collaboration, you can't get anything done without good, strong collaboration with all these stakeholders to actually build the product and then eventually bring it to market.
So I have to tell you, with my box, I don't know what you guys call it at your employer, but we call it three in a box where I work. In prior organizations, we call it the triangle. So I have to say that the other thing I do with my box is we present together to our leadership. So like every Tuesday, we go to our leadership and we present like up-and-coming projects with the experiences, and all three of us present. In fact, sometimes I even bring our data scientist, depending on, you know, the kind of metrics we want to track and stuff like that. If we don't have it already, I even bring that person in. But what I find is that when we all tell that story, and I always kick it off as the PM, I find that it's an inclusive environment, and all my partners are happy because they got a chance to be part of that storytelling. I wasn't sure. How do you tell your story with your lead, with your partners?
Yeah, that's actually a really interesting approach. We don't necessarily do it that way, but I think we have a lot of techniques that we use. Again, I think Google is a very heavy writing culture. So we write a lot of documents, whether it be a strategy, one pager or two pager, or actual PRDs. We write PRDs on my team, product requirement documents. And so some of the frameworks we use within these documents are things like jobs to be done, right? Gotcha. Being very clear about, you know, what is the problem, or what's the job the customer is trying to accomplish? What's the problem they're trying to overcome? Critical user journey, right? Being able to really clearly and crisply define what are the steps the user takes to then go and solve those problems. And then for me personally, a framework I use to drive alignment on my team is what I call a three-question framework. What problem are we solving? Why are we solving it? And how do we measure success? By answering those three questions and writing them down and getting feedback from all these cross-functional partners you mentioned, we all start to arrive on a very cohesive and aligned view of what we're trying to accomplish, what exactly we want to build. So those are some of the things I use. But I love your approach of sort of having these regular reviews with your cross-functional partners. I have to think about that.
Yeah. The reason we do it that way, well, I've been doing that way for several years anyway, is because, so when we present to our leadership, right, and it's all of us, right? So I kick it off basically as the PM. I talk about, you know, the customer value, right? What is the customer value? What is the business value? I talk through how what we're building, you know, how it ties to the overall mission and vision of our organization. Then what I do is I pass it on to our designer, my design partner. So then my design partner says, okay, Rocky has talked about the issue at hand, the problem, the pain point. Let me talk to you about how we plan to solve this. So then what he does is he walks through, this is the now, this is the current world from the persona's point of view. And then he walks through, this is what the solution, and he walks through the persona's point of view. That way they can see the before and the after of what we're trying to do. And that usually right there, I find feelings usually transforms people. Like it transforms them from where it is today to where it could be. And I always find that leadership would get their buy-in because they get transformed just like customers get transformed. And then they want to align with us and then, you know, help us to bring it to fruition. And then our tech lead, after our design lead is done, our tech lead will then say, okay, this is what it's going to cost for me to get it to market. Not like money-wise, but like if I have to incur technical debt, this is what that technical debt would do for us. You know, here's when I can fix it literally in the future and so forth. Yeah. So that's how I tell that story. Approach.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the other thing is that we, as you know, I can't build anything by myself, my team that is. There's usually other teams involved, like risk, compliance, and so forth. So also we get all those teams together and we tell that story the same way. And we get them together with our counterparts, my PMs on the other side. And the reason we do again is because we want them to see that experience that we want to bring to market, and so that they can tell us, okay, yeah, I see what you guys are trying to do, but this is where I got to go build something for you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's why we do it that way. But no, this is so awesome, Felix. I've been trying to get you to, you know, to do this for a while. So this is awesome. Thank you for doing this. So Felix, how I got to know you was because I saw that you were very active on Twitter. You were very active on LinkedIn. And can you talk about, because the work you do is just absolutely outstanding to me. So can you kind of talk about some of the work you've been doing in product management communities? I think our audience would benefit a lot from those.
Absolutely. So I started a community called the Product Management Mastermind. It's a community for PMs to get advice, share advice, and build relationships. Thousands of PMs are engaging regularly across Twitter, LinkedIn, and even Clubhouse. Our signature event is an open Q&A on Twitter Spaces where PMs discuss challenges like, how do I handle a delayed project? How do I keep my team motivated? How do I write a really good strategy document, right? And PMs from all over the world, they chime in with their experiences and advice. And so it's really just become this amazing place where product managers get a little bit vulnerable. They share challenges that they have and they get advice from other people who have been there, done that. And it's just been really phenomenal to see the community come together and help each other level up and get better at this job.
So Phil, can I ask you, what motivated you to form this club?
Absolutely. So it started quite organically. As a first-time PM, I struggled a lot. I mentioned earlier on that I leaned a lot on my engineering kind of roots and I wasn't as focused on the what and the why, which now I understand is super critical to product management. So my projects were taking longer than I expected. I felt ineffective. And as I started speaking with more PMs, I realized my situation wasn't unique. There were many PMs who were just kind of thrust into the role with very little guidance, definitely not any formal training. And they just had to figure it out as they went along. So I wanted to help other people avoid some of the mistakes that I made and ramp up faster. And as I started to talk to mentors and, you know, through trial and error, I started learning different techniques and tactics and I just started sharing them on LinkedIn. And as I did that, the content was really resonating with other PMs. And so I ultimately decided to create a LinkedIn group. And out of that group kind of organically formed the PM Mastermind. And so we just started to understand that there was a huge demand for more of these type of product conversations, more sharing of best practices. And the PM Mastermind was born out of that.
I've attended the PM Mastermind on Thursdays. And I have to tell you, I always come away excited because I feel like you and the rest of the team are just doing such a phenomenal job of shaping the next generation of product managers. And I think that's awesome. And I love how you guys give back. I love the advice that you give. And I just want you to know, so I know you just celebrated your 1-year anniversary. Congratulations. So I just want to say, please keep up the great work. But can you also talk about the work that you do with the University of Washington, the Inclusive Accelerator Program? I think that's also a really great program as well.
Absolutely. I work on a lot of different initiatives. A couple of them are with the University of Washington, also with Product School. I know you work with Product School and you had Carlos on your podcast earlier as well. But specifically for the Inclusive Product Management Accelerator, this is a 10-week program aimed at professionals looking to pivot into PM. We prepared this curriculum where each week an experienced PM comes in and they lead a topic related to the role and preparing for interviews. So they may talk about, you know, customer focus, or they may talk about how to tackle technical interviews, or they may talk about, how do you understand jobs to be done and really what problems you should be solving as a PM. And so through this 10-week program, aspiring product managers get a taste of what the role is, but they are very, very heavily focused on passing that interview. And so we also pair them with an experienced PM, a seasoned PM as a mentor. And so they get someone who's directly invested in their success to work with them over this 10 weeks as well. This program has been sponsored by some amazing companies, Salesforce, Amazon, T-Mobile, and Starbucks. And so fellows also get access to these companies as well as many others who choose to send volunteers to the program or participate in our recruiting events that we host. And so, again, this is just a really great program. If you are aspiring PM, maybe you've had a couple of interviews, but you haven't been able to pass them, really encourage you to check out the website. I'm not sure if you can share a link with your audience, but they should check out the website and you can actually subscribe to be notified when the next application opens up. We run them each quarter. And so, we're on our spring cohort is about to start and the applications for summer haven't opened yet. But if you go to the website, you can subscribe for notifications.
Again, I can't tell you enough how awesome this program is. I saw your message on LinkedIn over the holidays that they needed volunteers. So, of course, You know, that's what I was like, I'm in. So I joined. I've been working with Kara. I've been working with Jeff. And I've attended three sessions right now where I've helped the students get, you know, through those interview questions, like the data-driven ones, behavioral and so forth.
Nice.
Awesome, awesome program. You guys are doing such a great job. And I'm so happy to help out and volunteer. But
again, absolutely.
But what really makes me happy at the end of the day, you see me smiling right now, is that you're shaping the next generation of product managers and providing them opportunities that we didn't have when I was starting out in PM. But I feel like the students that you're helping, the people you're helping, just, you know, that they get to shape the next generation after them. So we're passing it on, you know. So.
Absolutely. And I just want to share one more thing. First off, thank you so much for volunteering. It's absolutely critical that our fellows have that support, and particularly that see folks that look like them, right? One thing I didn't mention about the Inclusive Product Management Accelerator is it really is targeted at folks that have demonstrated commitment to inclusion. So whether or not you're an underrepresented minority, the program is really focused on people who believe in the importance of inclusion in product management. And so those are the folks that, you know, we really are intentional, even in the application process, about asking about your commitment to inclusion. And so, yeah, it's a phenomenal program, and we're really happy to be contributing to, like you said, the future of product management, but also making it more inclusive in doing so.
Absolutely. I tell people all the time, you want a diverse product management team, because we are, especially if we're serving an emerging global market, right? That emerging global market, the demographics are changing, and they're changing every day. Their needs are changing, and they're changing every day. So in order to build for different demographics, you need a diverse product management team. You need a diverse Scrum team, because they're coming from different lived experiences, different geography, different circumstances, and they can all bring different perspectives to the table. So again, so, so excited. Can you talk through the work that you do with Product School as well? I know you do some stuff there as well.
Absolutely. So with Product School, one of the first things I did with Product School was actually help launch the product manifesto. So I was really honored to work with many seasoned product professionals and thought leaders to create 10 principles for building better products. It was great to see it become a semi-finalist on Product Hunt's 2021 Golden Kitty Awards in the education category. Super proud of that. And yeah, it's just turned into a set of principles to help guide PMs in their efforts to make really successful products. I'm also currently working on the 2022 Future of Product Management Report with another group of amazing product leaders. So this report is going to uncover key trends that are driving the industry, things like product-led growth, PM compensation and retention, product career path options, and diversity and inclusion in hiring. So really excited for that to get launched soon as well. And just honored again to be able to participate in some of these initiatives with some great thought leaders in product management.
Okay, so Felix, I have to ask you, when do you sleep?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, honestly, at PM, one of the things I learned with PM is time management, right? And so I think things I've learned in product management, managing my calendar, have actually helped outside of, you know, my job as well. And so I'm just really intentional about my calendar time, really intentional about the time I spend with my family, and really intentional about the time I spend consuming content, for example, right? And so you'll kind of notice with a lot of these projects, I spend more time creating content than I do consuming content.
Right.
And once I realized that, it really let me know that there's actually a lot more time in the day than I think there might be. And I'm not saying I'm still not stretched and challenged, but yeah, I'm still pretty focused on my 7 or so hours of sleep, at least per night.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm glad. So Felix, as you mentioned, right, it's important that product management be diverse, right? I get a lot of feedback through LinkedIn, different places, from a lot of people of color that are trying to get into product management. What would be your advice? Because they see it as a black box. And I can kind of understand why a lot of people see it as your black box. So for aspiring product managers out there, what would be your advice to them on getting started?
Absolutely. So there's three things you really need to do. One, you need to make sure you understand the role. I think I see often, even in things like the Inclusive Product Management Accelerator, applicants may be more interested in just breaking into tech generally, and they don't actually understand the role of product management. Things like we talked about on this podcast, like all the cross-functional work that you have to do, the fact that, you know, you're working with so many different stakeholders, the fact that you're trying to define what product to build, but no one actually is obligated to listen to you, right? Really understand that role. And so there's some foundational books, right, out there. There's Inspired by Marty Kagan. And there's other ones out there. But really understand the role. I think you need to talk to product managers. And that takes me to the next point, which is network, network, network. I hear so many folks reach out. What course can I take? What certification can I take? But the thing about product management, it's not like other professions where you kind of get the certification and then you show a company, hey, I got this cert, hire me. It just doesn't work that way, right? So you really need to identify specific people, specific companies that you're interested in and specific people who have made a similar pivot to the one that you've made. Maybe they have a similar undergrad degree. Maybe they're from the same, I don't know, country, or, you know, find people that you can relate to that have done what you're trying to do and get really good at your cold messaging game. Honestly, you got to start learning how to network and reach out to people and get, you know, 15 minutes of their time to kind of chat and discuss how they made it to where they are. And that's absolutely critical. And then finally, it's working on interview skills. So there's a lot of resources out there. Tryexponent.com and their YouTube channel is very, very powerful for watching people do interviews and really seeing what it takes to answer some of these questions. And then you want to do as many mock interviews as you possibly can. Now, speaking specifically to people of color, I know it can be tough, and I know that, you know, there's not a lot of us out here. So sometimes it feels like you don't see people who look like you, but we're here, right? So you have to spend time, you know, finding those communities online specifically, and finding people online. I just spend time researching and identifying those folks, but then also don't be afraid to reach out to people who don't look like you, right? I think early in my career, I really struggled with asking for help. The more I started asking, the more I realized people were actually really willing to help. I just needed to ask. Exactly. So I think you kind of have to fight that fear and just be willing to shoot your shot, right? Exactly. And know that you're not going to get 100% response rate, but the more shots you take, you know, you really increase the likelihood that you're going to strike gold, right? So you just got to be willing to be persistent, be polite, and put yourself out there.
Thank you so much for that advice. So I have to ask you, so what are you into lately? What do you do when you're not writing content? What movies are you watching? What shows are you watching? So for me, there's a new show called How I Met Your Father. I've been watching that on Hulu, and I'm really glad I'm not dating anymore. Because I have to watch that show. I'm like, you know what? I would be single for the rest of my life if I were their age right now. So what are you watching?
That is funny. Wow. Yeah. So, you know, as far as watching, man, I used to watch a lot of TV shows, but I kind of cut back on those, and I like to watch movies more so than TV shows, just because I feel like, you know, you can watch some good content for a couple hours, be engaged, entertained, and then you can kind of move on. Whereas TV shows kind of tend to draw you in, and next thing you know, you watch like 10 seasons and like, where did the time go? Exactly. Right. So it's hard for me to commit to TV shows now. I start to pare back the ones that I watch. But two that I'm really enjoying right now, one is the new spin on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, actually.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I'm watching, what's it called? Bel-Air. It's on Peacock. Actually really enjoying that. I think it's pretty entertaining. And my wife and I tend to have like Saturday movie night dates. And so most recently, actually just last night, we watched The Adam Project on Netflix.
Okay.
So that ended up actually being a pretty entertaining one.
Oh, nice. Okay. Very nice. Well, Felix, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Product Magic. You are awesome. I have been dying to talk to you because you're doing such great work in the product management community. Please keep up the great work because you're impacting lives, and I love your legacy. So thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. If anyone in your audience wants to connect with me, they can check out my website, felix.thepmmastermind.com. And I look forward to hearing from you. Best of luck on your journey.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.